Hello, hope you all are having a good week so far, and thank you again for joining for the Philemon Bible study. This will be part five. We're coming to the end of this letter, and so I hope this has been a help to you. I hope it's been an encouragement. And let me know any comments, questions, maybe something in the text that maybe I didn't explain well, or just kind of skipped over, or something like that. Let me know in the comments if you're watching this on Facebook. If you're watching it on Boxcast, feel free to email me. Would love to hear your comments, or like I said, any questions or anything like that that I can answer. I hope this would be something that would be more interactive. I haven't really done that so far, and just kind of learning, figuring this thing out. So, would love to hear from you. Anything that you would like to throw at me. But today, for part five, we're kind of getting to my favorite part of this letter, as Paul now is really making his kind of direct appeal now. But again, as we've saw, what he's been doing is he built up Philemon. He said, I know this about you. You're faithful. You love Jesus. You love people. And then we kind of see him make this appeal not by command, but out of love. We see his humility. We see Paul's humility. We see that he is trusting the Spirit. He's believing the best about Philemon. And then we saw in the last video how he is really kind of talking about God's providence, how God is working through this whole situation. This wasn't just Onesimus doing this on his own, but God was working behind the scenes underneath it all. And now we get to the part where he really makes the direct appeal, but notice how he does it. This is what I love about this letter. So notice in verse 17 now, that's where we're going to pick up. And look at what Paul says. He says, So because of everything that's been said, if you consider me your partner, receive him, Onesimus, as you would receive me. Because remember, Paul has written this letter and he sent it back with Onesimus, who has hand delivered it, and Onesimus is standing right there in the room when this is being read. And so now Paul says, all right, Philemon, if you love me and you follow me and you want to and you serve the same way that I do, you serve the same Jesus that I serve, you love others the way that I love you. He says, now receive him the way that you would receive me. So now it's no longer about Philemon and Onesimus. It is now about Philemon and Paul. And Paul is saying, I love him so much that, and you love me so much that you should accept him the way that you receive me. And we're going to see really what Paul is doing, what kind of argument he's making here. But he says, and then verse 18, he says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Because see, if Paul had done something to Philemon, Philemon would probably say, you know what? It's Paul. I love him. I know him. I'm not going to hold this against him. He would probably, just either write it off or he would just forgive Paul. But here Paul says, if he, Onesimus, has wronged you in any way. And this is where some say maybe that he stole something and ran away. We don't know. But it says, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, Paul says, don't charge it to him, charge it to me, charge it to my account. And then verse 19, he says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. See, Timothy is probably the one writing this. We learned that in the greeting that Timothy is the secretary kind of that's writing this. And so, but now Paul is taking this and he's writing it in his own hand and say, whatever it is, I will repay it. But then notice what he does. He says, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Paul just flipped the script here. He goes from Philemon being someone who is owed something to now he's flipped it and said, I'm not going to mention, but I will mention that you owe me even your own self. Because Philemon, it was Paul that led Philemon to Christ. So just as Paul led Onesimus to Christ, he's reminding him that, hey, you met me and I shared the gospel and you believe because of what I taught you, what I preached to you. So he says, you think you're owed something. But Paul says, I'll pay it. And he says, and don't forget, you owe me way more than Philemon, or than Onesimus owes you. because he wants to put him in perspective and say, hey, your salvation is worth way more than whatever little thing he stole for you or whatever he didn't do for you, whatever he's owed you, what you owe me for leading you to Christ is way more important than that. And not that Paul is expecting any kind of payment for that, but what he's saying is he's saying your spiritual life is way more important and more valuable than anything tangible that Onesimus may owe you. He says, this is way more. So he flips Philemon to thinking about, okay, what does Onesimus owe me? And he gets him to start thinking about, wow, what do I owe Paul? And if I owe Paul that much, then I should receive Onesimus the same way I would receive Paul. And then look at what he says in verse 20. He says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. And remember back in verse, I believe it was like 7, he says, you have refreshed others. So now he's saying, refresh my heart in Christ. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Here's what he's trying to say. Paul is doing the same thing to Philemon now, or as a demonstration of what Christ has done for us. See, Onesimus wronged Philemon in one way or another. That we know that. But now Paul is saying, hey, whatever he owes you, I'll take care of it. I'll pay it. Charge it to my account. I'm gonna step in his place and take care of whatever he owes you. Don't charge it to Onesimus. Don't make him pay it. I'll pay it, whatever it is. And what Paul is telling Philemon now is he's saying, refresh my heart in Christ, because what he wants Philemon to do is to see that what Paul is doing for Onesimus is what Jesus has done for him. And it's what Jesus has done for you and me. Because Jesus stood before God the Father and he says, whatever sin they owe, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. And that's what him coming and living the perfect life and then going to the cross and dying upon the cross. That's what it was for, was all of our sin, all of your sin, my sin, Philemon's sin, Paul's sin. It was all put upon Jesus so that when he died on the cross, Jesus was saying the very same thing that Paul says here, whatever they owe, charge it to my account. I will pay for it. What Pastor Brian talked about just last week in the service on Sunday is that substitutionary atonement. Jesus said, whatever they owe, I'll pay for it. Don't charge it to them account, charge it to my account. And here's the beauty of it, is when Jesus did that, he says, whatever, you know, charge whatever they owe, charge it to my account. And it's given to him, it's imputed to him. But then the reversal is also true. By faith, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, then his righteousness is imputed to us. So he gets our account that he doesn't deserve. But by faith, we get his account that we don't deserve. We are forgiven completely and wholly. We are washed clean. When God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, no longer our unrighteousness, because Jesus said, put it all on me. And so now what Paul is doing is he's reminding Philemon that, you know what? What you owed God was way more than what Onesimus owes you. And if God in Christ can forgive you for all that you owed simply because Jesus went in your place. Now, Paul is saying, hey, if there's anything that he owes, charge it to me. But what he's really trying to get Philemon to see is that what Onesimus owes him is way tiny, 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 minuscule compared to what he owed God, and yet God has forgiven him. So this is a beautiful picture here of being a substitute, substitutionary atonement, what forgiveness really is. And so we can see that when we think about that, then the gospel changes how we can forgive people, how we hold grudges, that we shouldn't hold grudges, that we withhold forgiveness, that we don't forgive people. If we think of that, that whatever that person owes me, and you may be sitting there saying, well, you don't know what so-and-so has done to me, and that'd be right. But I have to wonder, I just really have to wonder, if they've done anything near enough to you to match up to what you've done against God. And you think about all that Christ did and all that Christ paid for when he went to pay for your sin. That's really what Paul wants Philemon to think about, and that's really what we have to deal with. Because we always have to understand that we've done way more against God than anybody else has ever done against us. Because just think about all the sin in your life, all the sin that you have committed and all the sin that you will commit, and Jesus paid for every single one of them if you trusted him by faith. It's all gone. Jesus said, whatever they owe, I'll repay it. And now as our high priest, he sits in heaven and he says, whatever they've done, I've already paid for it. He is constantly making intercession for us, saying, I paid for that. I paid for that. I paid for that. And so when we remember that, then that changes how we forgive and how we deal with others. When they've wronged us, yes, it hurts. There's things that people have done to you, I'm sure, that are painful and they hurt. But when we remember that we've done way more against God than that person can ever do against us, then we have to begin to start seeing things in Christ. We have to begin to forgive in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, forgive others as Christ has already forgiven you. As God in Christ has forgiven you. And so we have to remember to deal with this. And so here's just a kind of practical way to think about this, to kind of apply this. This is something I heard from another pastor. This is not anything I came up with, but it's been helpful to me, and I fail at it a lot. There's times that I remember and it can help. There's times that I forget about it because my anger does, I feel wronged. I feel like there's been an injustice and I want to be right. And usually that doesn't help matters. And so I forget this. But this pastor said, you know, in your conflict, when you are dealt with, when somebody has wronged you, a good way to respond to that is to remember this idea of first sinner, second sinned against. First sinner, second sinned against. And what that means is we always have to remember that when someone wrongs us, first we have to remember that we're a sinner who has wronged God, essentially. We have disobeyed God. We have done things against him. We have disobeyed him. We have gone against him. We have chosen things other than him. And so we always have to remember that when someone wrongs us, first, I'm a sinner against God. But secondly, I was sinned against. So if we remember first that I am a sinner against God, then what that person has done is always way less than what I've done against God. So it doesn't mean that it doesn't make it hurt less. It doesn't mean that the heartbreak is any less. It doesn't mean that the injustice is any less. But what it does mean is that I don't hold a grudge, or I don't hold bitterness, or I don't withhold forgiveness and destroy that relationship because I understand, first of all, God has forgiven me of way worse. So through his spirit in me, he can help me to forgive this person. Now, that process may look differently for different situations, but it also means that I, in Christ, if God in Christ can forgive me for all that I've done against him, then his spirit in me can work through me to then forgive this person, to reconcile with them. Because then there's no grudge that can be held. Because it's like, well, you don't know what they've done to me. Yeah, but I know what I've done against Christ. I know what I've done against him, and yet Christ gave his life. The perfect, sinless Savior gave his life to save me from all that I had sinned and all that I would sin against God. So when we read this, we see Paul being like Christ here. And he's saying, hey, Philemon, remember, you've done way more against God than what Onesimus has done against you. So you need to reconcile with him. You need to forgive him. And Paul puts himself in the middle of it and says, hey, whatever he owes you, charge it to me. I'll take care of it. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for Philemon, and he did it for you and for me. And so I hope today that encourages you, man. Think about that. First of all, think about what all Jesus went through and that he did that for you. He said, whatever, put your name there, whatever blank does, charge it to my account. I'll pay for it. And then he went to the cross and was nailed there, and he died to pay for every one of your sins. Now, think about that. Praise God for that. Thank Him right now for that. Just say a prayer, say, thank you, God, for that. But now, secondly, the response because of that truth. Now, is there someone that you're holding a grudge against, or there's bitterness in your life? Somebody that you just are just, it even comes to your mind right now and you get angry because of what they've done to you. Now ask God to help you forgive them because of what Christ has done for you. Not because I'm telling you to, not because you feel necessarily guilty about it, but that you know, hey, because of what God has done for me, I need to be able to forgive that person. I need to be able to reconcile with them. And then thirdly, do whatever God tells you to do about that. Maybe it's have a phone call. Maybe it's write a letter. Maybe it's just simply to forgive them in your heart and ask God to help you release that bitterness, to uproot that bitterness that can grow in our hearts. Whatever it is, I would encourage you to do that. Follow what the Spirit tells you. But here's what we have to deal with. The gospel changes how we reconcile and how we forgive others. And it's not easy. It is not, because everything in our nature wants to go against this, doesn't it? We feel so wrong, just like what we talked about earlier. You know, we can get so blinded in our own circumstances and all that, and we can just justify and we can say, but what, you don't know what they did to me. But we also have to remember what all we've done to Christ. And yet Christ never said, you know what, that cross ain't worth what they're going to do to me and how they're going to disobey. No, He went to the cross anyway. And aren't you thankful for that? So this is the hardest part of this letter. We got one more part to go, but this is the one that I think we need to just really pray about and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and really uproot these that bitterness and hatred that can grow from it, and unforgiveness. And so I pray that today your motivation is remembering Jesus's complete faithfulness to you, to never withhold forgiveness from you. And then allow Him through God's Spirit, through God's Holy Spirit, to work so that you will not do that for others, but instead you'll be like Christ and you can say, you know what, it's going to hurt, it's painful, but because of what Christ has done for me, then I know I can forgive and give forgiveness to that person or to those people, whatever it may be. So I pray that that's what you hear today, is because of what Christ has done for you, now go and do that to others. So God bless you. I hope you have a good day, and we will see you for part 6, which should be the final part in this session. So God bless you. Love you, and I will see you soon.